The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. I love the first reading from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, as you know. He suffered greatly at the hands of his own people. At one point, he was thrown into a dry cistern to basically starve to death. That's how much they really appreciated his preaching the word of God to them. And of course, he was really caught up in doing the will of God. But like any human being, he got frustrated. He was thinking to himself, as human beings do, you know, Lord, I've done all this for you, and look how you treat me. And so he goes, You duped me, O Lord. You duped me, and I let myself be duped. He's really saying, I wanted to do your will, I'm doing it, and I'm caught. I'm caught by you, Lord. I can never change, but do your will. That's all I want to do. You know, I sometimes think that too. If 16 years ago when I was ordained, if I knew I was going to be here with you people. No, I'm kidding. But we all get frustrated, right? We say, Lord, why are you doing this? And don't we think like that? You know, I'm a good person. I put $2 in the collection each week. I go to Mass every week. And somehow we think God is going to reward us for that. And, of course, God always rewards us and gives us his graces, but the way of the disciple, which is the way of Jeremiah, demands that we conform ourselves, as St. Paul says, not to the age, not to the world, but to the ways of God. And as Jesus said to the disciples, stop thinking as human beings are thinking, and think the way God thinks. Well, you know, we say, wait, I'm a human being. Why shouldn't I be thinking the way human beings think? But we have to remember that through baptism and through the sacraments, we are being made more and more into the image and likeness of God. We are becoming divine creatures so that, in fact, we have been given the mind of Christ so that we can think as God thinks and act as God thinks. Now, sadly, when you look at statistics, it says that Catholics, even good Catholics, those who participate at Mass each week, basically do what everybody else does out in the world. In other words, they conform themselves to the world. Why? Well, maybe because it's easier. Maybe there's a sense of, I'm going to get what I want if I do what the world tells me. What does the world say? It says, think about yourself first. To heck with everybody else. Worry about yourself. Nobody's going to take care of you. Put all your money aside so you can have a nice life when you retire. Don't worry about other people. Well, that's the age. That's the thinking of the world. Jesus says, don't worry about what will happen to you. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. We have that beautiful story in the New Testament of the rich man who built up new barns to put all his possessions in. And then he says, oh boy, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry now. That's the way of the world, taking care of number one. But if Jesus had thought that way, would he have become a human being? Would he have suffered and died for us? So that's what Paul is challenging us to do. Think the way Jesus thinks. To not look at number one, but rather to look at God, number one. My brothers and sisters, number two. And then myself, number three. But that's the challenge of Christian discipleship. To go deeper and deeper and deeper into our faith. Not to conform ourselves to the age, the thinking of the world, again, that says, have fun, pursue your pleasures, don't worry about anybody else. But we're called to conform ourselves to Christ, who came to serve us completely. He didn't have a vacation home in Florida, as far as I know. He didn't worry about where he was going to eat at night. He slept wherever somebody offered him a bed. That's God. That's God showing us the way of discipleship. So we're talking about a radical change in our lives the more we allow God to get into our bones, into our flesh, into our blood. And it demands that we constantly think the way God thinks. And when we feel the age kind of creeping up on us, the way the world thinks, we have to say, no, get behind me, Satan. As Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said to Jesus, I'm not going to let them hurt you. Peter didn't get it. He was thinking the way the world thought, you know, protect yourself, protect number one. And Jesus said, no, 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 that's not what it's all about. It's about doing the will of the Father, which means carrying our cross, willingly embracing suffering, not worrying or being anxious about anything, because let's face it, if we're faithful, God takes care of everything. Doesn't mean we're going to have the house we want in this life or all the food or clothing we want, but he promises us glory for all eternity. He promises us heaven, which is the fulfillment of our deepest desires. So we have a choice each and every day to either continue to walk the path that Jesus walked, to continue to conform ourselves to the way of Jesus Christ, to continue to think with the mind of Christ, or to conform to the world. And we're all challenged and tempted to do that because you drive along the streets, there's billboards, there's signs saying do this, do that. You watch TV, there's all these ads saying, listen, if you really want a great life, this is what you got to do. But that's the age. The age which says, number one, that's what it's all about. It's all about me, myself, and I. And if I have anything left over, well, maybe I'll be generous with other people. But the way of the Christian is God first, my brothers and sisters second, and then me third. And to keep that in mind each and every day so that when I'm tempted to give in to the thinking of the world, which is really stinking thinking, I can remember that through baptism I become a son or daughter of the Most High. I have been commissioned to bring the good news to the world. I have been challenged to do what Jesus did, to live the will of the Father, even though it means giving up all sorts of things, emptying myself of my pride, and carrying my cross, of embracing suffering, and not doing it by saying, you know, Lord, thanks a lot, but rather, thank you, Lord, that you trust me so much that you allow me to bear this suffering in your name so that I can be faithful and following in your path. So as always, we have two choices, conform ourselves to the world or conform ourselves to the gospel, to the good news, to Jesus Christ. So here we are. Jesus gives himself to us in the Word of God, which we've heard proclaimed. He gives us himself in his flesh and blood, so that when we go through those doors, we have been nourished and nurtured and strengthened to say to the world that wants to pull us into sin, evil, selfishness, we can say, "Get behind me, Satan." And so that we can go forth and do the good things that God calls us to do. And that's our glory. Our glory is not in, again, what the world says glory is all about, but it's in glorying in the cross. That's what St. Paul says. Our glory is in the cross of Jesus Christ, because through his death and resurrection, he has freed us from the bonds of sin and death, of worry and temptation and anxiety, so that we can think like Christ and do what Christ calls us to do. So as you go forth this weekend out those doors, that's the good news that we have to take out into the world to tell people who are trapped into a bad way of thinking because of the world, who are caught, who are in need of healing, that there's another way of thinking, another way of being, another way of doing. And it's all about Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior.